Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Monday morning. Very nice to have you with us. It is the 14th of March, and we welcome you. Let me introduce our panel, and then we will get to our topics at hand. It was a busy political weekend, wasn't it? So we'll talk a little bit about that and see what's on your mind as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org, if you'd like to join in on the conversation. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe, and let me be
put that in front of you.
Yeah, good morning, Joe. That's what being radio is all about. Let me just be the first to congratulate you on what was clearly a major victory for you and for the radio station as you interviewed Sophia Loren. Everybody who was there says it was just great and that she made you work for your money.
Yeah, it was fun. She's good. It was good. Libby, what'd you think?
I thought it was good. I thought clearly there were language barriers, and I thought after all this time she'd have a better command of the English language.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, well, and then she would
start speaking Italian, and I don't know the language,
right.
Unfortunately. So I felt I didn't quite know what to say sometimes.
There were times when she was very funny.
Well, she's charming.
Yes,
she's
lovely.
She's very charming. Yes.
And I thought when the 15-year-old whose birthday it was.
Yeah, Sophia.
When you brought her up and asked the question about Gina Lola Brigida, we don't talk, was one of the funniest moments of the whole thing. So for those of you wondering, Sophia and Loren and Gina Lola Brigida, I don't think are best buds.
No, they're not. They're not close.
BFFs.
And for those of you wondering who either of them are,
right? Well, there is that.
Right, you're not listening to public radio.
Yeah, clearly
there is that.
Well, and this morning I woke up and I had a note from our Ray Graff, who is out ill today, and I was down a panel member, so I jotted off a quick text to Mike Spain, and I said, can you make it in an hour? And he said, I'll be there for you. And that's the kind of guy he is.
Oh.
In English, I said it in
yes,
English.
Yes, you said it in English.
I'll be right there.
I appreciate it. So thank you very much, Mike.
I am pleased to be here, Joe.
Associate editor of the Times Union, and always
and
good
star.
To have you with us.
A star right here in our own midst.
Hmm. We love Mike. We love Mike. We love Libby. And did I mention that you're a political consultant? I don't think I mentioned that in the introduction.
That's okay.
Libby?
Yes.
Political consultant, Libby Post. All right. Let's talk about what's happening over the weekend. Oh, my goodness. So Friday night, the story breaks that there is a cancellation of a rally in Chicago, Illinois, for Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump had been campaigning throughout the day, and this is where the story gets a little muddy, a little murky, if you will. But people have said they were anticipating violence, or they were anticipating that it would be rowdy. Donald Trump, the candidate, had said during the day that they were expecting it to be, quote, rowdy. And then when it got down, they let everybody in. And things, I guess, were generally okay until they suddenly just came out and said that the event is canceled.
Mm.
And that's sort of when things got rowdier, if you will. And there was some concerns about safety, of course, and then people were going out. Well, then there have been these skirmishes in the crowd a lot at Trump events. Donald Trump, for his part, has taken no blame for what has happened, for inciting the violence, which both Republican and Democratic candidates, as well as leadership in both parties, have said that he is clearly responsible and should denounce it and put an end to it.
As well as many people in the media.
As well as many people in the media, absolutely. So instead, he did what Donald Trump does, and he blamed Bernie Sanders, and said that it was a planned attack. It was a professional protest. They were taunted. They were harassed by these people. These other people, by the way, some represented Bernie, our communist friend, Trump said. And Sanders should really get up and say to his people, stop, stop, not me, stop. My people are nice. Those people are not, he said. Obviously, for his part...
My people just sucker punch people. They don't interrupt rallies.
For his part, Bernie Sanders got up and said, here's the problem with Donald Trump. He's a pathological liar. So that's where we are sort of at the moment. What do you make of all of this? Panel. We'll begin with you, Alan.
Well, I'm going to say something that is extraordinarily unpopular with our audience, who I think I know fairly well. You know, NPR this weekend had the guy, or one of the major protesters, I think the guy who got kicked out on, happens to be African-American, happens to be extraordinarily articulate. And I said, this is going to help Trump. Because basically, I don't like what Trump says or what he does. Do I think he's racist? Of course. But I think what happens is that this fight for dominance in this election is over middle class America.
Was this the man who was not in Chicago but in St. Louis that he was?
Get up on this.
It was sucker punched in the face.
Yes.
Well, so the controversy from there comes from Donald Trump saying that he was going to pay the man's legal expenses.
Yeah, no, that's correct. That's correct.
Okay.
Well, but the point really is, what is the reaction from the American middle class? Do I think that if there's outside, protesting, that's legitimate and that every American understands it? Sure, I think it is. I think what happens is if you go into the event, and here's where what I say is unpopular, and you try to disrupt the people who are speaking, I think you create, not from my perspective, just let me get this straight, but from the perspective of those very middle-class people who we are talking about who become voters, is that something that is going to repel them or attract them? My feeling is it doesn't help.
Well, I think that is the. I think that seems to be the. I think that many agree with you. However, there is a school of thought which is getting louder and louder in their voices, of saying that it does help Donald Trump, which is why many people believe that Donald Trump himself was the one who organized the unrest.
We don't know.
Well, those conspiracy theories will prevail.
Right.
Yes.
We don't really know.
But as, you know, his opponents, both the Democrats who are seeking their party's nomination and his opponents in the Republican Party, like Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, are seizing on this to portray Trump as a bully. They're focusing more on words that he has said over time at rallies when protesters have been identified in the crowd, and he dismisses them and says, get him out of here, you know. And in this particular case, as Libby was pointing out, where he's stepping up to offer legal assistance to the people who, the guy that pulled the punch, mm-hmm. I guess, the sucker punching. And called him a proud American or some name like that. And they're trying to use that. And that, I think, Alan, that will continue to erode Trump's popularity and portray him as a bully. And I think it ultimately will hurt him. How he handles it is how he, you know, may define ultimately what happens. But he seems to be not completely disavowing this violence while he's not taking responsibility for it. It sounded to me when he was on Meet the Press yesterday, it sounded to me like he was accepting it as a reality and not discouraging it.
With only the greatest respect for you, Michael, I don't agree with you.
Yeah.
I think, in fact, when he says, I may pay the guy's legal bills, that's encouraging.
Oh, I do too. I completely agree there.
That's encouraging.
Right. Whether or not that will hurt him more or help him to be doing that is
well,
the
with
question.
His crowd, the with people he's crowd. Trying to attract.
Right. And whether that's a smaller crowd, because the more moderate people in that crowd may be disaffected by that and seeing him as a bully.
Well, what if, but why do you expect to go to a political rally and have it turn into a WWE cage match?
Well, that's what he wants. I mean, that's really what Trump is looking for. He's looking for people to act out on his words. Now, I have a problem with all of what's going on And I do think he's looking for people to act out on his words. And I think do think he's goading people on. And he's not stupid. He knows exactly what's going on. And he feigns this innocence, which is absolutely disgusting. But the idea that he is not taking responsibility. What happens when this man is in the White House? It's all about taking responsibility. It's taking responsibility for the country, for foreign affairs, for what's going on domestically. And he refuses to take responsibility for his own campaign. What's going to happen when God forbid, he does get to the White House? I think that this is all about his inability to separate himself from this massive ego and fascist type response that is he's getting, that just keeps building his ego and keeps building. He thinks he's absolutely right. I mean, we had that picture of the woman, the older woman, doing the Heil Hitler, response. You know, she was interviewed. Well, I'm from Germany. I really don't believe that. You know, the fact is, the picture says 1,000 words. When he says, raise your right hand, people raise their right hands in the way that the Nazis saluted Hitler. You know, he is a fascist. He is. Just totally playing on people's raw emotions of being the other.
Well, there's a lot of things going on. I mean, that you're talking about when he had people raise their hand and pledge allegiance to Donald Trump. I saw that tape of that, and I mean, he did say, "Well, you don't have to if you don't want to." I mean, he was kind of being amusing. I thought that as he was doing it, he probably realized that he needed to
turn
it back.
But to Libby's point, he's then done it again. Right. And then when people said to him, do you see that as a bad thing? And then he seizes on it and says, well, let's keep on doing it. And again, there is that insistence, let's keep doing it because it's working.
Right. I think everything that he does is a calculated move. Mm-hmm. What he answers on Meet the Press about this sort of parsed answer where he's not taking responsibility, nor is he endorsing violence, but then he calls the people who committed a strong American and I'll pay his legal fees. Mm-hmm. Those are mixed messages that kind of try to speak to both sides. He tried to do that with David Duke. It backfired on him. It's highly, questionable exactly what he was trying to do there, but he seemed, when he was questioned about David Duke, to not want to condemn David Duke because he didn't want to alienate the far right, and yet he didn't want to endorse what David Duke said. So he was trying to walk a line, and this may backfire in him. A lot of people are beginning to sort of see the game that he is playing here, and you know, I think his support is eroding among Republicans. Well,
meanwhile, he's 2-1 in polls in Florida.
Right. Yeah, no, the big issue is
that base.
There's three other candidates.
Yeah,
really,
it was
too.
A big issue, of course, is Ohio.
Yeah. Right.
I'm fascinated by that. I really think that based on what we saw, Michigan, that another Rust Belt state, 20 points ahead in Michigan, loses by a fraction, but loses. Does that whole thing transfer to Ohio?
And John Kasich in the latest polls is ahead by
a
margin, yeah. Mm-hmm. And and what will this do there? So again, there are the calls because Marco Rubio is doing so poorly in Florida.
So he'll be out of the election by this time Tuesday. Wednesday.
Well, there's people now even calling for him to
pull out, throw
to
support.
Pull out to yeah. Cruz to try to pull out Florida. Mm-hmm. And also that over the weekend, Marco Rubio's campaign manager called on Republicans in Ohio to support John Kasich. Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Because it's really out in the open, anything but Trump.
Right. I mean, right.
It's like bullet voting. Yeah. Don't vote for my guy. Vote for the guy who has a chance to beat him in Ohio.
But then Cruz comes back and says, well, what is this all about that I'm supposed to tell my people as if they're automatons to go and vote strategically the way I want them to?
Yeah,
but apparently it's working.
Well, you now, know, on some levels, you know, Cruz is scarier than Trump.
Absolutely.
Politically, you know, he wants to create a theologically based, a dominion-based government and country.
There was a piece on one of the shows yesterday on the difference between scary and frightening.
Right, right. And Trump is scary and Cruz is frightening. But you know, a Trump presidency would be frightening too.
I think they had it turned around.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
Right. Well, you know, the fact of the matter is that we. Yes, Hillary lost Michigan, but when you look at the raw numbers, she won the Democrats. It's just that it's an open primary, and that's what happens in an open primary. What's going to happen tomorrow and moving forward, if Kasich can pull it out, it will open this up to what we keep saying is going to become a brokered convention. Bottom line, if it's Cruz, if it's Trump, it's going to destroy the Republican Party. It already has. It's clear what these people stand for. They don't care about anybody but white folks who believe a certain way, and it's all about the other. You know, there was a fascinating article, opinion piece in the Jewish Daily Forward this morning about how Jews need to start standing up and say, and remembering never again, because we're headed down a very similar path where you have jingoism and nationalism leading to a candidate.
Right. And you see, and I'm sorry to bring up a whole other thing, but relates to this, you see the results of the German elections.
Yes.
In which the very rhetoric which Trump is pushing here was pushed there by the right-wing leader and worked.
They won. Right.
Well, they didn't exactly win.
Well, they won some.
They certainly did better than had been expected or that they thought. And so that sort of jingoism works, it crosses national lines, is my point. Libby, I take some exception to your inevitable discussion as to why Hillary didn't lose. She did lose.
She lost.
And number one, and number two, the fact that the middle Democrats came over and or independents came over and voted for her, voted for her opponent, is telling, because those are the people who are going to be needed to win an election.
And I think when those people see the choice between Hillary Clinton and either Donald Trump or Ted Cruz, they'll be voting for her.
Well, so far he's been doing pretty well.
Yeah, I get that. But we'll see. We'll see. It's all remains to be seen. It's much more difficult for us to imagine the Republican nominee becoming president. I could deal with Bernie Sanders as president. I could deal with Hillary Clinton, clearly, as president. I cannot deal with Donald Trump or Ted Cruz.
Well,
it could end up being Mitt Romney. He does have a committee.
Well, what you or I could deal with, and you speak for me, is really irrelevant here. What is relevant, Libby, is whether the blue-collar Democrats and others could live with a Trump.
Mm-hmm. We are out of time for this break. We'll be back and continue our conversation. We welcome your thoughts. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. We'll continue our panel discussion after this break. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. WAMC.org. And we welcome your comments. We have a lot of letters. Let's get to those. And then we'll go on to some other topics as well. Alan.
Okay. Some of these letters are just too long. So I'm going to abbreviate them. I want you all to know that. Don't be calling me, telling me you didn't leave my last sentence, because I told you. How many characters, Joe?
140.
Okay. Eve says, please note that Bernie wins against all the Republicans. Hillary wins only against Trump. If you really like progressive policies, might be time to back Bernie. That's from Eve. Let's see, from who? It says here, Yes, too. The issue with Trump is more that Trump himself is more Trump himself. It is that people agree with him. Those are your neighbors, coworkers, and kids and parents who agree with him. It is your neighbors, coworkers, and kids and parents who are racist, xenophobes, and fascists. It's a good thing that Trump is ripping the cover off how many Americans actually feel. And then Matt says, what happened to the pressure for Trump to release his tax returns? Also, where is Chris Christie? Back in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Back
no
in New
longer
Jersey.
Standing.
Okay. So then Michael says, Trump is the offspring of the Tea Party, and the Tea Party is the offspring of the Republican Party. They created this disaster. Now they're very sorry and trying to figure out how to destroy what they've created. It's really quite amusing. For those people who don't know my feelings about this, I'm a little bit worried, and here's why. I truly believe that Donald Trump could be the president of the United States.
God.
I truly believe, under the right circumstances, he could be. And that is a road which we have seen other societies go down without identifying the time periods. Okay, and Michael says, good morning, folks. Trump is definitely a guy, definitely a quote, who pooped in my pants kind of guy. Keep up the good work. Helpful. Okay. And my personal orthopedic man, Lenny Goldstock, your personal orthopedic surgeon, is there any room on your roundtable discussion to talk about personal responsibility? The media is glamorizing the gentleman that rushed Mr. Trump's stage in Ohio. I researched this gentleman as distinct anti-American values he's seen in the Wayne State campus dragging American flag on the ground. Is it possible for your roundtable to be more slightly more center? I listened to the woman named Libby, and I want to vomit. I welcome your thoughts anytime. Oh, well, that's a little strong, don't you think? Okay.
Your thoughts, Libby, I think you are,
I don't
deserve
have any,
a reply.
I don't, you know.
You made an orthopedic surgeon want to vomit.
Was that the orthopedic surgeon
yeah.
who said that?
Yeah, yes.
Well, I'm going to stick with Ortho New York then.
Oh,
that's it.
Okay. Anyway, it's a good bet that if there were Trump disruptors at a Democratic rally, they would have been demonized. Was storming the stage by a protester, civil and democratic, he tried to deny Trump and crowd First Amendment right, but for some ideologues on the left and on the right as well, free speech is conditional upon ideology. The issue I have with the left is it presents itself more as a protector of free speech. Trump, I believe, offers the most effective, in other words, practical and pragmatic approaches to our economic security. Now, that's interesting because it's exactly what I was saying to you guys in the beginning, that that is an attitude that is out there.
But I think there have been people who were drawn to Trump early on because they have economic insecurity and they felt that he was going to be an outside disruptive influence and they were tired of the institutions not succeeding. Today, I think that people are able to maybe delineate between that Trump and the Trump that now is defending, you know, people who punch out political opponents at rallies, et cetera, like that. And there might be some disaffection like that. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I think that he's risking losing the moderates and by going after the right wing, and that's always a risk for any politician. And this may be a turning point. Some people are envisioning it as that.
There are those who would think you're right, or would hope you're right. But I, being a pessimist by nature, feel it may be exactly the other way around.
Well, the pundits have been all wrong since this whole thing began last June.
You are so right, and I was right there among them. Okay, so Ethan says, I'm still upset. No, it's not Ethan. It's actually Lisa. I'm still upset as to how Bernie Sanders' earned delegate count seems to have decreased from 492 after his wins in Colorado, Minnesota, Kansas, and Nebraska to 477 presently. Also, Hillary Clinton had an earned delegate count of approximately 583 after the election where she earned 88 delegates. After Louisiana and Michigan, she suddenly has more than 700 earned delegates. The mathematics doesn't add up, and no one, I love this sentence, no one but me seems to be asking questions. Believe me, there are others who question the way this stuff is all adding up. Okay, Joe, did you do any looking in your thing for the present delegate, your device for the present delegate account?
The pledged delegates for Hillary Clinton is 772. The pledged delegates for Bernie Sanders is 551. Superdelegates 23 for Sanders, 472 for Clinton.
So we are counting the superdelegates. Okay.
Is that in addition to the first set of numbers?
Yes.
So the superdelegates.
Well, there's the pledge.
Of...
The pledged delegates is 772 right. for Clinton, 551 for Sanders, and then it's 574 with the superdelegates for Sanders and 1244 with the superdelegates for
right.
Clinton.
When you add them right. up. Okay.
Yes.
And Joseph says Cruz and Rubio do not have clean hands. Cruz is the Dominion evangelist messiah. Rubio is a puppet. Neither of these men believe in democracy. One leans on theocracy, the other on oligarchy. Kasich may be rational, but has acted and pledged to elevate fetuses above the rights of women and has declared eminent domain on uteruses. Okay, I'm not reading the whole thing because that goes on too long. Okay, James says, after Allen was told by state Republican leader Cox that he would support Trump if he is the nominee, I contacted my Republican state Senator Farley's office and asked what he will do. That was 10 days ago, and after a follow-up call and email, still no answer.
Okay. I think a lot of Republicans are waiting and hoping that they won't have to make that awful decision and have to decide between something that will alienate their moderates and et cetera, et cetera.
Brian says, good morning, panel. Does the panel think a Trump cruise ticket is possible? Speaking for Allen, I do not, because he's going to have to go towards the middle to win, not to the right.
Right.
Yeah. But Kasich, you know, Kasich, Cruz. Trump-Kasich.
Yeah, you can't win without Ohio.
Right, but I don't know if Kasich would do it after all of it, what he's been saying about Trump.
To be 5 seconds away, one heartbeat away from the
Kennedy
president
Johnson,
of the
right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I know, I know, but
nobody thought Lyndon would accept the offer from John F. Kennedy in 1960, and look what happened.
And there, look what happened, indeed. And there's still some people who think that Lyndon's hands may have been a little dirty.
Well, let's not go there.
Okay,
no, there's always going to be conspiracies.
John said,
we came back to that again.
I listened to a podcast of a panel program from Radio New Zealand on Friday when the panel said that all of the conditions for fascism exist in America. Another panelist said, it's not Godwin's law if the facts stack up. It's obvious from the opposite end of the planet what's happening in our country. All right. And Michael says, throwing around like words like fascist and Hitler is totally irresponsible for an intelligent person. Okay. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I don't think the conditions in America are the same as they were in pre-war Germany. In other words, you had an incredible depression, which was going on at that time. The fact is, no matter how you see it, no matter what you say, unemployment is way down. Economic conditions are pretty high, although there is an argument to be made that the middle class has been left in the dust with all of this.
Right. I think one of the parallels that does work is that in pre-war Germany, Hitler was blaming others for the conditions. And there seems to be blame. We seem to hear the rhetoric that from the Trump campaign that Muslims and immigrants and Mexicans, et cetera, are to blame for a lot of our ills. And when you blame one particular group or a couple of different groups, that begins to pick up some of that rhetoric. Right. And I think that's what has people worried.
I mean, the fact is that, you know, Trump's rhetoric is all based in racism. You know, he started with the president 4 years ago and the birther and the birth certificate stuff. He hates the president. He has made it clear that he doesn't care about the African Americans, and it's just gone one right after another, Muslims and everybody else. And yes, there is the sense of the other, and the other is everybody but white men for Donald Trump.
Well, there will be those who disagree with you, Libby.
Okay, fine. That's what democracy is all about.
There's a lot of women who are supporting him, and there are some minorities. I actually saw a reference to Muslims for Trump at some rally. I don't know if it was more than that one guy, but anyway.
Anyway, Aishu from Cairo says, hi, I think it would have been helpful if the protesters in Chicago would have filmed the vitriol from Trump's audience that they reported afterwards. We saw people fighting, but we didn't hear what the protesters were hearing. If it was as awful as they are saying, I think it would have made an impact on people. Well, the NPR interview, by the way, did have the guy reporting that the N-word was being hurled at them and other things. We don't know if that's true. We just know that that's what the guy said.
Well, I've seen video where they say, go back to Auschwitz.
All right. And Don says, it is interesting that Trump's Republican presidential opponents criticize him for being too liberal rather than for his racist and misogynistic rhetoric.
It seems like they get him on all counts, I believe. At least, I think it started that way, but I think it's changing.
Well, he's been Teflon. Whether he continues to be Teflon, we'll see. But it seems like till now he's been Teflon.
Okay, so panel, says Bob. This morning I was listening to an NPR interview with a Trump protester who admitted to charging onto the stage in an effort to stop the rally and then was punched. Does he really mean a Trump protester? Oh, yeah. Trump. Oh, I got it. Yeah.
Trump protesting.
Okay. Perhaps. Who admitted to charging on the stage in an effort to stop the rally and was then punched in the face while being escorted out by the Secret Service. He claimed to have been shocked in capital letters, shocked by the reaction of the pro-Trump audience. Come on. This guy was out to grab headlines and got exactly what he was hoping for. 15 minutes of countrywide attention for the price of a punch. And Joseph says, blaming Sanders for the brutal attack on a protester is strongly suggestive of the tactics used by the Nazis. The American middle class is not going to side with the brutality if they are provided with the image we can all see. Trump has lied about his own statements on Meet the Press. Playing Trump's words over and over again, along with the image of brutality, is what is needed.
Well, the super PACs are going to pay for that. I think mm-hmm. we'll be seeing that. Yes. Yeah. I think the ones that are raising money against him.
Yeah. Stephen says, hey, Joe, you tell me when to stop, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Stephen says, you know it's bad when Fox News anchors point out errors in Trump's economic numbers during the last debate. And Jerry says, I agree that early supporters of Trump agreed with his list of complaints against those in office. My disagreement is that they supported him without offering solutions. And David, come on, get up there. I'm pressing on this. Does it mean when you press down on your machine, you know, when you press with your finger mm-hmm. and nothing happens, that you're basically a dead man? In other words, that you have no life in you?
It means that your machine is frozen.
Yeah, so maybe that you've pressed
it too much.
And it has to catch up.
George, I'm so sorry.
Well, then why don't we let it catch up? We'll go take a break and we'll let the machine catch up. And then we'll be right back after this short break.
Support comes from Springbrook, Oneonta, New York, supporting people of all ages with developmental disabilities. Presenting the 11th Annual Gala, Springbrook Strong, Compassion, Commitment, Community, April 9th at the Otisaga, springbrookny.org. Third Eye Associates Limited, Life Planning, Transition Planning, and Wealth Management. Registered investment advisors with offices in New York City, Washington, D.C., and the Hudson Valley, thirdeyeassociates.com. Underground Railroad History Project, 15th Public Conference, The Underground Railroad and American Identities, featuring the African-American Dutch bus tour of the Mapping Slavering Project on April 17th, undergroundrailroadhistory.org. And from Agricultural Stewardship Association, helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley, we conserve good farmland for good forever, hgstewardship.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, Libby Post make up the group. I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Taking just a few more letters, and then we'll move on to topics as we round out the hour in the home stretch.
Here comes testimony from Philip. He says,
okay.
Yesterday afternoon in the parking lot by the Dollar Tree off Columbia Turnpike in East Greenbush, I spotted a bumper sticker which had the face of Donald Trump on the left and Hillary Clinton on the right. In the middle of large numbers was Trump that B dot dot CH.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, you can figure that out.
I have seen this bumper sticker widely around in our community, unfortunately.
When I saw the car owner, I asked her if that was her sticker, and she responded yes. I then asked her if she spoke to her children using such language. Astoundingly, she said yes. I then informed her that I understood why she was a Trump supporter, because he likes lower educated voters. She then proceeded to spew out swear words while giving me the middle finger. In the middle of our heated argument, I did not swear. Another gentleman heard the commotion and starts yelling at me, calling me a god, a D dot dot N, and then uses a word which I don't think
a derogatory word for
homosexual.
Gay.
Yeah.
You know, this is what's wrong with these people. They can't have a measured conversation. It's all about calling people names. It's all about denigrating other people.
I am disgusted by the degrading of our political process by Trump and his supporters. That's from Phil in East Greenbush. Okay, then we heard from somebody. I wanted to read
Robert.
That. Robert, what? No, oh, yeah, here it is. Regarding Dr. Vomit, that was a reference that was made to Libby unfairly and I think awfully. Regarding Dr. Vomit, Robert from Albany says, every day that Libby posts on the roundtable, I learn new perspectives and see our world in a new way. She is a critical thinker and we need more of a fresh intellectual perspective. And Robert, Ph.D., art theory, art, history, theory, and criticism.
Thank you, Robert.
I like that one. Okay. Hi.
So if you need an art historian, now you know where to go.
Yeah, and okay, fine, good. And I got another one in my pocket,
orthopedic.
Too.
Forget the orthopedic.
Okay,
but
fine.
I think that the people who are opposed to Trump risk coming across almost the same way by using the broad brush and saying that everybody who supports Trump is a lower middle class white person who's racist and a homophobe who... you know, is in that category. There were a lot of people who supported Trump, I think, early on that were just swayed by their own anger at the way things mm-hmm. have not worked out. And, you know, maybe over time some of those people will change. But, I mean, I think it's more complicated than some people portray it to be.
Well, by the way, I agree with you.
And the thing is that...
It's a mistake. It's a tactical error on the part of those people who oppose Trump. To classify everybody else as a know-nothing.
You know, undereducated, white.
Yeah. I love the undereducated.
Middle, you know, poor, you know, or, you know, lower middle class. I mean, using those characteristics on the Trump campaign. I mean, his stump speeches talk about a lot of things that hit home with people that really are wrong with society. And, you know, I wish if the issues were more discussed, it would be, you know, a little more clear and people could talk more intelligently about it.
So Jeffrey doesn't like what I've been saying.
The problem is, Mike, is that Trump doesn't talk about issues. If you look at anything he says, if you look at any of his speeches, it's like 3 to 5 word sentences that say absolutely nothing.
No, he talks about issues. Don't kid yourself. When he says, I'm going to build a wall.
Oh, yes.
Believe me,
right,
that's
right.
An issue.
Yes,
but there's no substance.
Well, see, there's no
I mean,
policy.
He does say, I'm going to get rid of this department, I'm going to get rid of that department.
Right. But you look at policy statements on all of the other websites of all of the other candidates, Democrat and Republican, mm-hmm. and there are lengthy, lengthy statements and policy briefs.
And that's what it should be based on.
Right. And that is not the case on the Trump website.
Well, I'm glad you all agree. And here's one from Jeffrey. Hey, Gangi, at this point, aren't you at all curious about a Trump presidency? I'm not convinced Allen is all that concerned. He gets more worked up over heel spurs on Medical Monday than anything concerning politics as of late.
Well, no, that's a good point,
trust
Alan.
Me,
heel
I am,
spurs can be pretty annoying.
Trust me, I am personally concerned, but it is my role here to try to keep it honest and to try to see where the mistake... Look, if this guy gets elected president of the United States, and by the way, he's just a few points away from that, according to all the polls. If he gets elected president of the United States, somebody's going to have to say how this happened and why it happened. It can't be that a bunch of liberals are sitting around microphones here at WAMC saying, well, you know, he's a jerk, he's this, he's that, he's the other thing. I think one has to see that he's dangerous. And that's my position anyway.
Jack, well, after tomorrow's primary in Ohio and Florida, I think you're going to see the formation of a group called Democrats for Hillary, or Republicans for Hillary.
Yes.
In every election. You always see people from the other party.
Yeah, it could be.
And that will begin to pull it apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jack says, my concern is that our leaders have taken a textbook and Harvard-based approach to problem solving. Trump is the antidote. Okay.
And that's appealing to people, but, you know, it doesn't always work.
It's the simplicity of it all.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, the thing is this, is when people say, you know, the middle class has been left behind, the economy isn't good, they're just spouting and repeating Fox talking points. The economy is strong.
That can be debated. Wages are just beginning to catch up.
It takes
people
a
have
while.
lost
yes,
wealth.
I get
at
that.
The expense of others who've really gained wealth.
And me too. Yeah. Me too. Yeah. But the economy is better than it was. The debt is better than
it
was.
No
Everything
question.
Else yeah. is better than it yeah. was. But yet They don't want to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah, don't confuse us with the facts.
That's right. Don't confuse us with the facts.
Yeah. Really, okay, so anyway, Eve says, this is a white nationalist movement, not just about angry disadvantaged people. I wonder how many black people have to get beaten at Trump rallies before his non-racist supporters decide to leave. All right. And Alicia says, protesters disrupting Trump events is what must be, sadly. We are dealing with a man who is and who plays to the base elements of humanity. The protesters must disrupt what is immoral and dangerous to them and their family, to all of us. They are the heroes to me. That's from Elisa. And Dear Alan says, Leslie, I haven't heard much about how the do-nothing Congress has led to the current frustration on both the left and the right. And Cody says, good morning, panel. Perhaps we should bring back a test. In other words, literacy test requirement in order. Oh, brother. See, this is exactly what we were talking about.
Right.
When you say that,
you're being just as demeaning as...
You people who graduated from high school have to pass a literacy test. It's just the kind of fodder that will inflame those folks on all of this and who are going to vote for him. Anyway, John says, Trump did not make the wave. He's just riding it. That's where he got smart. Whoa. Okay. What do you want, Joe?
Well, I think we're about done, actually.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we've got about a minute.
Yeah, there are a couple more if you want.
All right. Go ahead.
Barbara says, I agree with Alan that Trump is dangerous. I do not know what scares me more, him or the fact that so many people are buying into the spouting. And what is more dangerous? What they will do if he wins, and what will they do? Where will they go if he loses? Okay. And I think it is important, says Russell, to point out that the First Amendment is there to prevent the government from infringing on speech. It doesn't protect people from other private citizens responding to speech that they don't like, rightly or wrongly. Okay, folks, I'm just going to say, and get another letter like the one I got earlier, that when your guy, Barack Obama, is up there, or Hillary Clinton, or Bernie, and some guy rushes out of the audience and jumps up onto the stage, that you might not take the same approach. That's all I'm saying.
Right. You don't want to encourage that kind of behavior anywhere.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And James says, Trump is scary. Trump does seem to have a lot of problems, anger, racism, sexism, et cetera, but he probably has a final solution of all of that. I don't like that.
Okay. Yeah, the final solution.
Yeah. And anyway, all of Trump's supporters may not be racist, but to support Trump, one is at least accepting of racism. And Tom, our friend Tom, says, how about the formation of a group called Republicans for Bernie? I have friends who call themselves constitutional conservatives who are rooting for Bernie. All right.
We're going to keep it there. But thank you very much for your letters. Thanks for checking in. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Mike Spain, Libby Post, thank you very much. Always good to have you here. Mike, we'll see you tomorrow.
Yep.
Thank you. Alan, we'll see you tomorrow.
We will, and congratulations to you again, Joe, on your wonderful interview.
We'll see you Wednesday. Thank you.
After Tuesday.
There you go.
Yeah, and you'll know the results.
That's
right.
Yeah, well, no,
yeah,
then
we can, hard one.
We can pontificate knowingly by
now. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.